Here in just a moment, Pastor Rusty is going to bring the message. But if you are new with us today, or maybe you've only been around our church a few months, I kind of want to just explain a little bit of what's taking place. Back in January of this year, we went through a leadership transition where Pastor Rusty had faithfully led our church for 32 years. Isn't that amazing? And I want to thank him for that. And Stephanie, we greatly appreciate all you've done as well. I know sometimes we can just focus on what Rusty's done, but we so appreciate all that you've done and continue to do. So Rusty, actually, we are talking, yeah. When we were going through this process, it was a very long process. It took up most of last year and even kind of beyond that. And so we were meeting with different churches and consultants, kind of getting their recommendation. They said, one of the things that you should do is for Pastor Rusty is to have a sabbatical period. And that may be 3 months or six or whatever, but just to have a little bit of a break. And so in January, Rusty passed off that baton to myself, if you will. And he took a 4-month sabbatical, and that ended at the end of April. And so he is officially back and in the new role of legacy pastor. And he'll explain a little bit of that as we go. But before Pastor Rusty gives the message, I just want to say before you all just how supportive and gracious he has been. Most weeks, he would send me a text of encouragement, of support. He would say how great the sermon was, even when it wasn't. And I really appreciated that. You guys are laughing a little too hard at that one, okay? And we met about 3 times for 2 or 3 hours. And so I could just share, you know, kind of where we're at and different things happening. And for most of that, he would just graciously listen and provide some feedback here and there. So just a wonderful time these last few months. And so, Rusty, I just want to thank you for all that.
Thank you. Man, I love having this guy as my pastor. That's the thing. I've become one of what now is online worshipers over these last several months, and to be able to just watch the baptisms, to be able to see and participate in the worship and join in and just full-throated worship all by myself in the living room. One time I even listened from the bathtub.
Yeah.
That might be a little too much information. Sorry about that. But man, I tell you, it's been an amazing time, and I really thought as we were going into this season, I really thought that the sabbatical time was for Jason's sake, really, because one of the things we had heard from those people, those trusted people that we listened to and looked at, they said, you know, sabbatical so that Jason can really become firmly rooted as the senior pastor and not have people kind of looking over their shoulder to see what you're thinking. So I really thought it was for Jason's sake or for the church's sake, you know, for the church's sake to just kind of get on the new path and go strong in a new direction. But once I got alone with the Lord, once that time, that season began, I kind of felt the Lord tapping me on the shoulder and said, hey, Rusty, this time is for you. There are some things that I've been trying to say to you for a while that you haven't been able to hear. There are some things that I've been trying to kind of sow into you, but you've been moving too fast to let them take root. And so pretty quickly it became clear that it was God at work in me. Man, I tell you, it's amazed me. I love you guys so crazy much. It's amazed me how few times I've actually bumped into people. You know, ran into Robert last week at the grocery store. It was beautiful, but it surprised me. And the few times that I have run into people, here's what people will always say to me. They say, you know what? I've missed you so much, and I love you, and I've thought about calling you, but I really wanted to respect this time. And you have. Man, I have felt so loved. I felt so prayed for. I felt so respected and honored by Jason, by the staff, by our church as a whole. And man, to just be able to look and see all the baptisms and see that retreat where young people gave their hearts to Jesus, to see how the work of God and the flow of God and the outpouring of God, you know, oh man. I've just been rejoicing with you so much. But when I do see people, here are the questions that come up. Here are the questions that come up. Where have you been? Where have you been? Yeah, I feel like that pussycat, where have you been? Off to London to see the queen, you know? I'm like, nope. Or what have you been doing? What have you been doing with yourself? When we started the sabbatical, I really had in mind that I was going to do some writing. I had in mind that I was going to put together some things, draw some thoughts together that have been percolating over the years and put them down on paper. I really thought I was going to be producing some stuff to walk out in and walk through going forward. But I really felt like the Lord just kind of pulled back on the reins and said, nope. This is a time for you to get quiet before me. This is time for you to quiet your heart before me. This is time for you. Here's a metaphor that kept coming up. It's time for you to thaw out spiritually. It's time for you to thaw out, you know? So I saw some, when Daphne got baptized a couple weeks ago, some people, they just said, you have this glow about you. I'm like, it's because I've been mowing, you know? And anyway, then people ask me, what's next? Well, here's the answer. So where have you been? Pretty much right here. And we really thought maybe we would go, you know, visit some of our kids on foreign mission fields, right? You know, and you got to see Russ and his precious wife and Ruby Sela a couple weeks ago in the mission moment. We thought maybe we'd go see them, but God really didn't open that door exactly. We thought maybe, well, we'll go see Scarlett and her bunch who are, you know, ministering the gospel and starting churches among Pakistani people in London. And God just, that's not a door that God opened. We thought, well, we'll spend some time and we'll go down and we'll see Steph's family in Florida. Her mom, you know, it's been a while since we've been able to just have the freedom to just go and love on her and bless her and be loved on by her. But the Lord didn't really open that door exactly. And so, you know, pretty much we've been right here and just sort of listening for the Lord, watching for the Lord. Now, Steph has continued right on, you know, loving on all the kids in the kindergarten class and all that. And I mean, she just loves it. But I have really felt the Lord just sort of having a check on me and saying, sabbatical is sabbatical. And so what have you been doing? I've been sabbaticaling. And I want to take credit for making up that word. I don't think that's a word. So I want to take credit for that word. But I've just been trying to say, okay, Lord, this is an incredible privilege that very few people get in this life. And I don't want to waste it. And I don't want to take it for granted. And so if you've got something to say, I want to be found listening. And so I've been doing the hard work. But somebody asked me even this morning, so have you been working hard? And I'm like, I've been working hard at not working hard. I've been working hard at trying to honor this time, this gift that you guys have graciously offered to me. I've been sabbaticaling. And what's next? Well, we're entering that season, just like Pastor Jason said, of legacy pastor. And I'm still not sure exactly what that means. But part of what I think it means is kind of carrying on that same love, that same meeting of people, carrying the same message. But now, rather than looking at the church as a whole and organizationally, which, by the way, can I tell you, as an organizational leader, as a church leader, man, praise God for Pastor Jason. Praise God for our staff. Oh, man. You know, I actually had the privilege to sit in on a staff meeting this last Tuesday, and just, you know, it was beautiful because the staff was all like, it is so good to see you. They love me so well. It's so good to see you. But it was not like we've been lost without you. There was none of that. And I'm just like, praise God. This has worked and is working, and praise God for that. And so pretty much in that legacy pastor role, to be able, instead of looking at the church as a whole, to be able to look and say, is there someone I can come alongside? Is there someone I can come alongside, whether within the church or beyond the walls of the church? One of the things God has called Steph and I to is to minister to pastors and their wives beyond the walls of our church, but on behalf of our church, knowing that our church is not only here to be a blessing to you, but to be a blessing to the kingdom of God beyond the walls of our church. And so to be able to just keep doing what we've been doing, but doing it on that personal level. So just kind of helping people find their place in the story, you know? I mean, that's just a really important thing. You can come to church week after week after week, but until you kind of find your place in the story and get traction, you might never find your fit, you know, and helping people get and give grace, you know. A lot of people come and they try church or they try Christianity or they try religion. And honestly, Christianity is one of those deals that you're not really going to get it if you just sniff around the edges. If you just come and sort of experiment with it here and there, you kind of got to go all in. And once you get some grace, God's going to raise up some memories of people that you need to give some grace to. And so just helping people find their place, helping people receive from the Lord. A lot of people have a hard time receiving from the Lord. And then helping people, rather than hoard that, give it back and give it out. And then just helping people find a new way to live. Because here's something maybe you figured out. As you start to find and follow Jesus, it's not just a one and done kind of thing. It doesn't just happen on a Sunday and then you come back next Sunday and pick up where you left off. It's a new way to live. It's a new way to walk. It's a new way to think. It's a new way to see life. And so there's this verse that's been really important to me during this time off. Actually, longer than that. But God keeps bringing it up in my heart and mind. And I'm not sure, but maybe this is sort of the foundational verse that this next season of life and ministry for Stephanie and me is built on. It's Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you. It is to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. And I love that as a conversation starter because it's not terribly off-putting. And most everybody would say, yeah, that makes sense. And you could start a spiritual conversation there that could lead people to Jesus. I love it. And let me just give you a little context for this because you may not have read Micah in a long time. Or when you did read Micah during our, you know, through the Bible in a year time, you may have sort of glossed over it. Frankly, it's kind of hard stuff. In the time of Micah, the prophet, the people are making a mess of their lives. And culture is a mess, and their community is a mess, and they're just making a mess of their lives. And finally, the message of God breaks through to people's hearts, and they're cut, kind of like that moment in Acts. What must we do? And they begin to ask these questions. With what shall I come before the Lord? What am I supposed to bring? Is there any way that I can come back? With what shall I come before the Lord? And will the Lord be pleased? Will the Lord be pleased, or have I gone too far and can't find my way back? Have I drifted for so long that I'm not going to be welcome back in the presence of God? What shall I bring and will it work? Will the Lord be pleased? What shall I offer? What shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? What am I supposed to bring in order to make God not be mad at me anymore? Because for a lot of people, until they find their place in this story, they have this false narrative going. God must be really angry with me, or my life would be going better than it is. I must have really sinned badly enough, and I must have drifted far enough away that it might be really hard for me to get back. And I love this Micah 6:8 because it gives a framework. Because here's the thing, to act, it calls for intentionality. You're never going to accidentally stumble into being right with God. You're never going to just accidentally wake up one day and say, oh, all the pieces of my life just fell into place. I'm good now. Praise God. It's not going to happen. It's going to take some intentionality. It's going to take a decision on your part. Not only a one and done decision, but an ongoing decision to say, I'm going to press into this. I'm going to move forward with this, to act. It calls for intentionality to love. I love that, to act justly, to love mercy, to love something is a matter of the heart. You know, I've been in this profession for a long time. And for a long time, it seemed like if someone could just come up with the right formula, if someone could just write the right book, if someone could just preach the right sermon, if only I could learn the right truth. But it's not a matter of the head. It's a matter of the heart. And then there have been so many people in my life, and I've been this guy. You know what? Maybe I need to double down. Maybe I need to work harder. Maybe I need to do more. What am I going to bring? What am I going to do for the Lord to be pleased with me? And the Lord says, you know, it's not a matter of the head, and it's not a matter of the hands. It's honestly a matter of the heart. And some of you have come to that place where you've said, man, I'm at the end of myself. I've done all I know to do. I've tried everything. New thing I can think of, I give up, I surrender, I give in. That's when the Lord's got your heart. you know, to love. It's a matter of the heart, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. It just gives you permission, right, to not wave a magic wand and be all better. I don't know if any of you ever thought that when you walked in the door, you would just have a magic wand and you'd be all better. But to walk humbly with your God gives you permission to let it take what it takes. Let it take however much time it's going to take. So you find and follow Jesus and you find a place to put down some roots. Maybe it's in a Sunday school class. Maybe it's in a small group. Maybe you're just so lonely and you just cry out to God, Lord, would you just bring somebody into my life that I could come, that would come alongside me? Lord, would you bring another couple into our life as a couple so that we could just find somebody who gets us, who loves us? Lord, please. It's so lonely and so isolating. So I love the way that verse flows together, because it's not just to act, it's to act justly. To act justly implies there's a backstory, right? Because we Christians, we're famous for that you'll get yours kind of attitude. There was a famous sermon back in the day, payday, someday. You're gonna get yours. You just wait and see. You're gonna get yours. I've tried to take vengeance, but there's a verse that says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So I've laid that down, and I'm just going to tell you, you're going to get yours. You've got stories of people who have wronged you, people who owe you an apology and probably owe you more than that, and you'll get yours. And it's easy to want justice. It's easy to want people to get what's coming to them, right? Until I look around and realize, you know, find my place in the story and realize I may want you to get yours, but I sure don't want to get mine, right? I may want you to get what's coming to you, but I don't want to have to make atonement for all the things that I've ever done wrong, for all the people that I've ever wronged for. I want to get freedom from the wounds that I've received, but I don't want to have to pay for the wounds I've inflicted, right? And so that's when you move from acting justly to loving mercy. I really love that word, mercy, that's there. And this isn't rocket science. You don't have to know Greek and Hebrew, but I'm going to dump a Hebrew on you for a second, because the mercy word there is this incredible word of the hesed love of God, the loving kindness, the tender mercy of God, the God who loves me even when I'm unlovable. The God who, as it says, you know, when Jesus looks at me, I have given him every reason to look away. You? Come on, crowd participation. You? When Jesus looks at me, I have given him every reason to look the other way. And instead, Jesus looks at me, and instead of looking the other way, he lays aside his godliness, Philippians 2, and he humbles himself and is found in fashion as a man, and comes down to my level, God help me. And he meets me where I am, not where I wish I was. He finds me no matter where I've fallen to, no matter where I've drifted to, and he comes and he carries me back to the Father. And it's this beautiful picture of the tender mercy, the loving kindness of God to act justly, having found my place in the story where I realize, oh, for as much as I have endured, I have been the source of much pain. And God, I'm sorry. And God, in Jesus' name, please, please spare me from what I deserve. And I want to offer to the people that I love some of the mercy that I have found in Jesus. So that when you look at those people in your life, the people that God brings into your life, the people that you can't help it, you just love them. You wish you didn't love them. You wish you didn't care about them, but you do. And you can't stop, even though you'd love to. And you look, and instead of looking at the mess they've made of their lives, the people around them's lives, even your life, instead of looking away, there's something in you that just wants to say, can I just share with you some of the mercy that I've found in Jesus? Could I offer you an aroma of what I have found in Jesus? Could I offer you a taste of what I have found in Jesus to act justly, to love mercy? and to find a new way to live going forward that allows you to be free of that. Because here's the thing, guys, and a legacy pastor, and part of what God has put on our hearts for Steph and I is to find people who love Jesus, who are so overwhelmed by their backstory and so overwhelmed by what they've endured and so just exhausted from the path that they've been on. And if we could come alongside, whether it's within the church or beyond the walls of the church, if we could come alongside and just have this moment with somebody who's and say, be able to say, I see you. I see you. I hear your heart. You ever had people that you just, God just gives you this connection with them, and there's just this, the word for it is attunement. Honestly, it sounds like a fancy psychological term. Actually, I got it from watching a horse training video. And the idea of coming alongside, you know, and see yourself being seen and hear yourself being heard. And if you can feel yourself feeling felt, and if somebody could just get you, you may walk into this church week after week after week, anonymously. Nobody really sees me. Nobody really knows my story. Nobody really gets me, but maybe somebody just locks eyes with you at some point and gets your heart, right? To be seen, to be heard, to feel felt, to be gotten. Somebody gets me. Man, it just opens up a whole new world, a whole new world. And it's not a matter of the head, and it's not a matter of the hands. It really is a matter of the heart. So there's this quote that I found, and I like it. It resonated with me because it's my story. It says, we don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. We don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. We see through the filters of our experiences, our relationships, our observations and conclusions. We see things through the filter of our hurt. We see things through the filter of our wounds. We see things through the filter of the things that we've suffered and endured. And when we see things like that, it's hard to see anyone else through the eyes of love. Whether good or bad, it gives us a bias, and it's inaccurate, and it's tainted by our emotions. So if we can come alongside, if I could come alongside someone and just take enough time, if you could build enough trust, can I tell you one of the greatest gifts you would ever give someone is to actually share your story, is to actually just share, here's the journey that I've been on. Here's where I've been. Here's how, I don't know, the winding path that has led me to this moment in my life. And by the way, could I just give you a commercial for that whole find and follow thing? Man, even if you've been following Jesus for a long time, there are a lot of people who are just stumbling through their relationship with Jesus. If you could get some handles on that, of how to understand your story and your place in the story, how to understand how God has met you and shown up in your life. If you could find that place of mercy, man, it could help you break down some of those filters and some of those lenses. You could take off some of those glasses. So let me just bring it down to this. How about you? Have you found your place in the story? Or are you still sniffing around the edges? Because honestly, I'm so glad you're here sniffing around. I'm glad you're checking it out. I'm glad you're checking it out. You've come to the right place. I'm not saying this is the right, we've got all the answers. That's not what I'm saying. But you've come to a place where you're going to find people who would love to love you. You've come to a place where you have found some people who, if you will let us, we would see you. You may have to take off a couple of masks before we ever get down to who you really are. You may have to lay aside some of the facades that you have so carefully built over such a long time. A great book that back in the day, Dropping Our Guard, Unmasking. Have you found your place in the story? Because again, it's not a one and done, but it's got to start somewhere. And for a lot of people, it starts on days like today. It starts in moments like this, when you come to the end of a service, when it wasn't the preacher who was talking to you, it was the Holy Spirit who was speaking to you. And it wasn't my words. God somehow found a place through a crack in your armor, and the message got through. And Jason would love to pray with you. I would pray with you. There are so many people here who would love to just hear your story. Love on you. And again, it's not a moment. It's not a one and done, but it starts somewhere, right? And it may start for you today. Have you gotten any grace? Or are you still trying to work your way into Christianity? Are you still trying to think your way into Christianity? Have you gotten any grace? And if you have you come to the place where you're ready to offer it to the people who have hurt you? Because here's what you're going to find. When you start letting people off the hook, that sounds so weak. But when you start letting people off the hook, you'll find it's you that gets free. Have you found a new way to live? Or are you still trying to just go through the motions? Would you stand with me just in a prayerful kind of moment? Bryce is going to lead us in a hymn. And this is just a moment for you to maybe start a journey, maybe cross a line, maybe at least open yourself up to the possibility that God might be at work in me in a new way. And again, Jason, Pastor Jack, so many people would love to just come alongside you, put an arm around your shoulder and just say, you know what? God is real and God really loves you and God is able. God is able to bring about the changes in you that you've tried and you can't bring about. So Lord, in Jesus' name, we just ask you, Lord, would you speak in ways that we could hear and understand? Father, in Jesus' name, that you would address yourself to every man, every woman, every child of us, Lord. Lord, in Jesus' name, would you shine some light into our darkness? And be the presence that pushes back the aloneness. And Lord, in Jesus' name, would you draw us to yourself?